Welcome to Let's Talk, a show designed to spread the word on health, lifestyle, and disease, spirituality, history, and topics that are relevant for today's world. Join us now as we spread the word on Let's Talk.
Well, good morning, everyone, Radioland, Chico, Paradise, Magalia, and others listening on. We are so glad that you joined us this morning. Today, we have another interesting topic, and we have special guests in the studio again. We have had them in before, Rod and Mary Cassidy. I'm sure you've heard of their stories, a very touching story. And today is going to be another very interesting interview with them. Before we begin, why don't we have a word of prayer? Loving Father God, we thank you for this beautiful morning. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And we ask that you be with our listeners, be with us today in the studio. Amen. And we pray that you would guide us into all truth. Yes. We pray that for some listening soul out there, that they would be blessed by this information and that they would seek you, that you may lead and guide them as to what to do with this information today. Thank you so much for the truth, and the truth will set us free as you've promised. And we thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning before we begin, I wanted to read one of my favorite texts in the Bible, and it is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I say amen to that.
Amen.
Paul tells us we should comfort one another with these words. These are very precious words. But you know, in our Christian world today, there's a lot of confusion regarding the state of the dead. There was a beautiful couple yesterday that I met, and they lost their daughter. And they told me that on the day that their daughter died, they saw a white dove, and they actually saw their daughter come to them wearing white with a big, bright smile. And I asked them the question, did she tell you anything about death or heaven? And she said no. And so that's why I think this topic today is so crucial. It is important for us to know what happens after death. Do we really die, as God says, the wages of sin is death? Or is there life after death? Today, to discuss this most important topic is Rod and Mary. Mary and Rod, welcome to the show today.
Thank you.
Welcome.
So the first question I have is, tell us a little bit about your background. How did you grow up? Did you grow up in a Christian home? Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Actually, I grew up in the LA area, Southern Cal, and I have seven brothers and sisters. I come from a big family, but I did not come from a Christian home. I came from a Catholic home. And there was a difference for us in that, and that's why I stated it that way. We were very devout Catholics. My mother actually was raised in a convent for a short period of time after her father died.
Interesting.
And so for us, Catholicism was not just on special occasions that we went to church.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, it was a real thing for us. We were very devout. So it was really ingrained in us at a young age.
Okay.
All of my brothers and sisters, of course, had their first Holy Communion and went through all of the teachings. And actually, right before I was going to be, mm-hmm. you know, go through my catechism classes, my mom just didn't feel comfortable with me going at that time. She began to seek new light in the Bible. So I did not come from a Christian home.
Okay, so why don't you tell us, growing up in Catholicism. How did your faith impact your view of God?
For me, at a young age, actually, it was quite scary. There was a lot of rituals.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a lot of things that go into being a Catholic. A lot of it is works-oriented.
Yeah.
So with that, one thing that really affected me in many areas of my belief
mm-hmm.
and my relationship with God,
mm-hmm.
there wasn't really a relationship. That wasn't stressed.
Okay.
And so the one thing that really affected me was the state of the dead for me.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, for me, growing up Catholic, actually my aunt, there were things that made impressions on my life. One was, I would say, my aunt dying and my grandmother. And for us, growing up in that environment, it's very oppressive. Death is looked on as I said, very oppressive, and not, there's no hope. You know, at that time when I was growing up, I was young, and you know, there's a lot of rituals. One would be, for us, I can remember when my grandmother died, us putting a cup of water on our table,
mm-hmm.
and that was told to the kids that those who die, they come and drink from that cup while they're in purgatory,
uh-huh.
of us praying them out.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that, you know, I thought that was a really awful thing, yet I felt a responsibility. You know, we had to keep that cup full.
Mm-hmm.
And people that I've talked to in, you know, other Christians, they say, how can you even have thought something like that? You know, it's kind of ridiculous. But it's not. When it's ingrained in your
mm-hmm.
life, that's why I think some of these teachings have such a hold on people, because
mm-hmm.
they're so ingrained. They become part of who you are, that they're really not so crazy, you know, when you're doing them.
So with that, a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety,
yes. mm-hmm.
a lot of confusion. How did that impact your view of God? How did you perceive God to be?
For me, again, God was more somebody who was distant,
mm-hmm.
somebody who wanted to see if we did something wrong. He was going to really almost zap us, you know, if we did something wrong. But then for me, that changed as I got a little, not much older, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was about 9 when things started changing for me.
And you don't really have to be a Catholic to have some of those fears. I think we all as children had certain fears regarding death and surrounding God.
Mm-hmm.
We saw him as a God that was serious, rigid,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But as we grew in our relationship, we came to know him as a more loving God and a
mm-hmm.
caring God, one that protects us and that wants our best. Mary, tell us, in your study, in your seeking God for truth, how has he revealed, especially in regards to the state of the dead?
For me, again, at a young age, we moved next to some people because my mom actually contracted cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So we moved. My father left at a very, I was 4 when my father left. He was very abusive. So my mom, and actually at that time, it was just me and my younger brother, moved next to some Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And they loved us. They just were friends. They didn't shove anything down our throat because
mm-hmm.
they knew we were Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
But they began to share with us. And my mom was open at that time. I think it's because she didn't know how long. She actually was only given 6 months to live. She lived 7 years, though, past that. So they, you know, they started sharing with us. Anyway, at that time, I started going to church with them. My mom was very open. She let me go to church with them. And then they asked me if I would like Bible studies. Now, I was only 9 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was about 11 or 12, maybe, I started studying the Bible with them.
Okay.
And at that time, they shared a lot of verses with me. One of them being in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 5, and it says in there, "For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten." So I started questioning that. What do you mean the dead know nothing?
Mm-hmm.
They're either being tortured in hell, or they're being prayed out of their situation, you know,
according to your
Catholic purification time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they started sharing some of these verses with me. It was really freeing, even at that young of age.
Beautiful.
And of course, I would come home and tell my mom,
mm-hmm.
and she had never heard that. We didn't study as Catholics. We didn't study.
Interesting.
We accepted what
okay.
the church told us.
Okay.
Okay. So this is the first time I'm really beginning to study this out.
So you're really saying to our listening audience out there, it is so imperative that we study the Word of God for ourselves.
Amen.
Right? Yeah, yeah. So that we can know the truth. And God says, come, let us reason together. He wants us to study and to rationalize the truth for ourselves. And even in whatever faith we may be in, we should not take the word of the pastor or the elders. We should go home. And like the Bereans, Paul commended them for it. They went home and they studied to see whether those things were true, whatever the minister was saying. So thank you for bringing that out. Anything else?
Another verse that really impacted my life was John 11, verses 11 through 14. And it says, these things he said, after that he said them to them. Our friend Lazarus, of course, is when Lazarus is sick and then he dies.
Right.
Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. And then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, that he will get well.
Right.
And he says, however, Jesus spoke of his death. But they thought that he was sleeping and taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead.
Mm.
So again, for me, that shed light that my mom, others that I love, they were sleeping.
Right.
They were sleeping until the resurrection. It wasn't that they were in heaven at that time or in hell burning.
Mm-hmm.
So again, those things are what really took hold of me is the scriptures, like you said, that
right.
is so important, because that it's not what the church, even that church, believed. It was what they could show me,
right,
and that I could understand of what was the truth.
Amen. And Jesus said, and you shall find the truth and it shall set you free.
Amen.
And it is so beautiful to be set free from so many thoughts and fears that we have regarding spirituality and God.
Mm-hmm. Basically, after that, myself and my mom, we both were baptized, you know, through immersion.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, my younger brother and sister came in to the truth. They learned the truth also.
Praise God.
It's been a foundation for me, and that knowing when my mom did pass away,
mm-hmm.
I was hurt. Of course, we all hurt when our loved ones die.
Right.
But it was a peace. It was a different. It was an oppression. It was a peace that I knew, hope that I would see her again. And that, of course, has given me foundation now for my daughter who recently passed away, that I know I'm going to see her again, that she's sleeping.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. You remember, listeners, the last time we met with Rod and Mary Cassidy, they gave the touching testimony of how their 19-year-old Brianna passed suddenly through a car accident. So, Mary and Rod, in light of your recent loss of Brianna, we want to ask you now, how has your belief system, this newfound belief system in Scripture, how has that impacted your faith? Has it shaken you? Has it altered, having had this most traumatic experience of the loss of Brianna?
Well, in answering that question, I need to mention, Tess, different from my wife, I was raised in a Christian home
okay.
with an understanding of the truths on the state of the dead. And my picture, therefore, early on of God
mm-hmm.
didn't undergo a radical shift.
Okay.
As I matured and went into my adult life, I began to understand God is more of a loving, compassionate Father whose picture had been smeared down through history because of Satan's accusations against him.
Hmm.
But getting more specifically to your question, as we've been noticing, Scripture reveals truth. God's greatest revelation about who He is and how He treats human beings and even the lost is demonstrated at Calvary. When we study the subject of death or any other teaching in the Bible, we need to study it in light of the truths that we see at Calvary and what Christ has suffered for us there. Every other truth in God's Word is invested with influence and power, according to the light that streams from Calvary. So when people lose a loved one, like we have recently lost our daughter, it can shake their faith, but what it did for my wife and I, mm-hmm. it actually strengthened our faith.
Amen.
Not only because we know where our daughter is, but we know that she's not suffering anymore, and we can share this with other people. Now, since her death, we have had various people come up to us, and they're loving, caring individuals, and we know right. that they mean well.
Right.
But because they don't understand this, they share with us, well, your daughter is in a better place, or perhaps maybe God needed her for a certain function, maybe member of the choir or something. And that really actually is kind of painful for us, because we realize that that's not where she is at. And though they don't know, they're meaning well, and they're trying to console us and comfort us. But we're so thankful that the Scripture does not paint this picture of God who takes our children at death as though he needed them for some purpose. That puts God in a negative light, as though he's selfish. But we know from Calvary that he's not selfish. He gave everything for our redemption.
Absolutely.
And as the Bible clearly teaches, there's actually two deaths. There's the first death that is introduced because of Adam's sin. Mm-hmm. All men die.
That's right.
That's a consequence of sin. But the second death is the eternal death. No man has suffered that but one, and that's Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He suffered the death of every man, and that's the death God wanted to suffer. And so that's why he poured the wrath of God upon his son. And so that's comforting, knowing that when our life ends, we are not in hell, we're not in heaven, we're mm-hmm. resting
that's
until
right.
the resurrection. And that has brought us a lot of comfort. I would also like to share a few things on this concept. Partly the reason why much of the Christian world has been in darkness on this is because they bought into the original lie that the serpent told Eve
Absolutely.
In the garden.
Absolutely.
Where he said, in the day you eat of the fruit, you will not surely die. And much of the world, not even Christianity, but
Hinduism,
all the
shamanism,
other major religions
yes.
of the world, they have bought into this teaching.
That's right.
And it has to do with the immortal soul concept.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, the Bible is very clear that only God hath immortality,
right.
Paul says in 1 Timothy 1:17. And so when we think of it like that, it brings comfort to know that our loved ones are resting in the grave.
Amen.
And I do have a statement that I would like to share on this subject. By deceiving the church in believing that men and women have immortal souls, Satan has enshrouded in darkness the glorious truth of what really happened on the cross. You see, if we possess an immortal soul, then death simply becomes a separation of the soul from the body. The second death, the eternal death, becomes impossible, for the soul continues to live after the body dies. That is why the Christian church as a whole has focused on Christ's physical suffering at the crucifixion as his supreme sacrifice for mankind, although in reality his physical suffering was no greater than some of the martyrs that suffered. And this is the reason, too, that most Christians believe the wages of sin to be not eternal death, but eternal torment in the flames of hell. And I know that's another subject. It's related to the state of the dead, and at some time in the future, maybe we can have a segment on that.
Definitely. And it also says in Ecclesiastes 3:20 that many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. And that is a blessed hope that we have. So if death is asleep, and if the dead know not anything, then who are appearing to our friends and our neighbors in the form of their loved ones?
Well, that, again, is part of this great deception that's put over on planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible is clear on that in Revelation 16:13.
Uh-huh.
It talks about the three unclean spirits that go out into the world to mm-hmm. deceive.
Mm-hmm.
And we know from other passages of Scripture that Satan impersonates our loved ones. And if people do not, and this is the serious, this is why this subject is so serious. Because many people think that, as this family you just met with the other day, who
mm-hmm.
their daughter came to visit them, it gives the appearance that their children are in heaven. But that brings no comfort. To think that my daughter is in heaven looking down at all the sorrow and grief that her death caused that she had nothing to do with?
Right.
Where's the comfort in that?
Mm.
And yet, because as my wife shared, people growing up, whether it's Catholicism or even evangelical Christianity, they don't know because they don't study the Word of God.
They're not studying.
They just assume that's where you go when you die.
Mm-hmm.
And you never go to a funeral where little Johnny's in hell. Nobody wants to hear that. And so this truth needs to go out to the world. People need to know this is not what happens to us when we die.
Mm-hmm.
We sleep, wicked or righteous, sleep in the grave until Jesus returns.
That's right. And when Jesus went to raise Lazarus from the dead, what did he say? Come down? Or did he say, come forth, Lazarus?
Come forth.
Come forth. So if Lazarus was in heaven, it would have been obvious that Jesus would have said, come down, Lazarus.
And Lazarus would have given us an account of the glorious
exactly
things he saw in heaven.
He said nothing regarding death. Why? Because what Scripture says, the dead know not anything. And Scripture is true. So
yes.
What would you say to someone out there who truly believes? What would be your advice, your last closing comments to somebody who truly believes that their child is in heaven or not truly dead? What encouragement can you give to that person?
Well, for me, coming in from another denomination, I would, you know, the verse that you had mentioned earlier, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 is a really good verse because
mm-hmm.
it says, but I do not want you to be ignorant.
Right.
See, that's where Satan can hold us in bondage when we're ignorant.
Absolutely.
Because then we have no defense. We have no defense. We don't have the Word of God. So what I would tell them, even that,
mm-hmm.
I would tell them, study the Word
Absolutely.
Of God. Study who Jesus really is. Because
Amen.
For me right now, the Father has become so close to me.
Amen.
You see, because we share in something now.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we didn't before.
Mm-hmm.
So study the Word.
Absolutely. That's a powerful word. And when Jesus went into the wilderness and he was tempted of the devil, what did he use in his defense? Mm-hmm. It is written.
Mm-hmm.
He
Absolutely.
Knew right off the bat, this was a lie that you're telling me.
Amen.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but
right.
by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We must know Scripture for ourselves. And when Jesus was leaving and he was advising his disciples before his departure, he said, beware of deception.
Mm-hmm.
Beware. And the best way to beware of deception is to know the Word of God for ourselves. We must study the truth. And like Mary said, the truth will set us free.
Amen.
Rod, do you have a closing thought for our listeners?
Well, I think you have said it pretty well, that the importance of studying the Scriptures for ourselves. It is the only weapon that Jesus used throughout his entire earthly ministry. He has left it on record for us so that we would not be deceived. In Matthew 24, 3 times he said, be not deceived.
Amen.
Why? Because he knew in the last days, false teachings, false prophets would arise to deceive many.
Mm-hmm.
And we see it happening all around us.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the Word of God as our roadmap, and we need to study it diligently so that we will not be ignorant, as my wife said, but we will be prepared for the Lord in his coming.
It seems like that's a very important point in this whole interview today. Study the Word of God. And we have so many different denominations, so many thoughts of, and so many theories. And so why do we have that? We need to ask God for his Holy Spirit
Amen.
To lead us into all truth. Then we would know the truth for ourselves. So our prayer for you and for us is that as we study the Word of God, let us study with the truth. Let's study with the teacher, the one that was sent to lead us into all truth, and that is the Holy Spirit, asking
Amen.
Him to guide us and to teach us and to penetrate our minds and give us discernment so that we can discern between truth and between error. Friends, that's it for our show today. But before we end, we want to have a word of prayer. Either of you, you're welcome to have a word of prayer as we close. And before we end, we want to invite you to call in, email us. We have a free offer today, Bible study guide on the state of the dead. If you'd like to study this topic more in detail for yourself, using your own Bible and prayer, we would like you to call in, and we would be more than happy to send you that study guide on the state of the dead.
Gracious Father, we thank you for this little time that we've had to study your word and to share on this most important subject. because it shines light on the character of God, that you are not selfish,
Amen.
But that you are a God of love and compassion, and that you have the best in mind for your children.
Amen.
Help us to study the Word of God and to show ourselves approved, for by this book we will be judged someday.
Mm.
Thank you for this privilege, and we pray that your Spirit will lead our hearers into all truth, so that they too will have an understanding of our gracious, loving Father.
Yes.
And who you are. We thank you in the precious name of Jesus, and by the blood of the Lamb, we ask it. Amen.
Amen. And Father, thank you so much for the beautiful promise that those that mourn shall be comforted.
Amen.
And God, what more comfort can we receive in knowing that our loved ones are asleep, waiting for the coming, the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will raise them back and give them life immortal,
Amen.
Immortality. Until then, Father, comfort those that mourn, strengthen the weak, encourage those that are discouraged, and keep us faithful as we study the Word of God. Send the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth, that we too might be saved. Thank you so much for the blessed hope in the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Until he comes, I have fixed my mind on another time.
Thank you for listening to Let's Talk here on KKXX. We want to remind you that this show is a listener-supported broadcast. We do appreciate your prayers and gifts as God leads. May God truly bless you today and always, and please send your donations. You can go online to myletstalk.com and submit your donations, comments, and prayer requests.
I know the time is close at hand for which I watch and pray. And that is today, 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 until he comes. I have set my course on the narrow way, on the narrow way. Even so, my fervent prayer, for I've caught a glimpse of glory, and I'm longing to be the Son of Man appear, the Son of Man appear. Even so, Lord, come quickly, this is my fervent prayer, for I've a glimpse of glory, and I'm longing to be there, for I've caught a glimpse.